Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. Haiti's justice minister has vowed to try to defuse growing political unrest by confirming that presidential elections will be held within 18 months, the first free balloting since the rise of the Duvalier dynasty in the 1950s. And other steps to head off a general strike called for Tuesday are on the way, as we hear from Juan Vasquez in Port-au-Prince.
The leader of Haiti's provisional government is scheduled to speak to the nation tonight, according to cabinet ministers. The speech by General Henri Namphy comes amid one of the worst crises in the government that was formed after the ouster of Jean-Claude Duvalier. Baby Doc's departure 4 months ago today released an explosion of expectations here. But Haiti remains a poor country, the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. Jobs and food are as scarce as ever, and democracy is still a dream. A schedule for elections has been one of the principal demands of the protests that have swept Haiti over the past week. At least three persons have died, and more have been wounded, including an army sergeant shot in the back during a riot. Namphy has said the country is on the brink of anarchy and warned in his last message that the army has had all the protest it can stand. This has quieted tempers for the moment, but unless the nation's political future is spelled out soon, observers say, the protests will continue. Juan Vasquez, CBS News, Port-au-Prince.
A bloody week of observances of the 1984 assault on the Golden Temple of the Sikh religion by Indian government troops has come to a close amid fresh bloodshed. Michael Hamlin tells us from Amritsar that it seems an organized effort to drive out non-Sikhs from the Sikh-dominated Punjab state.
There appears to be a deliberate plan on the part of the terrorists to frighten the Hindu population into leaving the state, taking up residence in the neighboring Hindu-dominated state of Haryana. I have met in this last few days a lot of very frightened Hindu people who are saying that they haven't left yet because they have businesses, they have property which they are unable to sell, but they want to leave.
Since May, more than 90 people have died in attacks by the Sikh militants. A trip to Beirut is planned by Peggy Say, sister of journalist Terry Anderson, who's been held captive by terrorists since March 1985.
It's a hard decision for me to make to go over there, and I feel a little bit frightened, but mostly relieved that I finally decided to do it and get it over with.
Say says she'll make the dangerous journey as soon as possible now that the State Department has granted her a visa. The fate of eight West Germans being held by Nicaraguan rebels is still up in the air. The Contras say government troops staged a raid to try to get them back, stymieing efforts to negotiate their release. But Ronnie Loveler in Managua says the Sandinistas deny it was an attack.
The Sandinistas say they sent a government delegation out to the area when they received reports that the hostages were on their own. But the reports proved false, with the Contras claiming they and their prisoners were forced to run from a Sandinista attack. It is the second time in less than a year that West German citizens have become victims of the Contra war. A West German woman was held for nearly a month last fall, but was eventually released in Honduras. At least one of the eight West German hostages is reported seriously ill, and concern over the welfare of all is growing. Yet the Sandinistas insist the crisis can be resolved with a command from the Reagan administration to Contra leaders, ordering them to release the hostages. Ronnie Loveler for CBS News, Managua.
The time now, 4 minutes past the hour.
From the moment the very first Zikar made its debut, it became a performance legend for a generation. Introducing the latest development of the Zikar legend, the new Nissan 300ZX, the very essence of quality and craftsmanship. Boasting new aerodynamics, sophisticated independent suspension, and a will for the road unmatched by ordinary sports cars. Slip into its cockpit, put your foot into 3 liters of fuel-injected overhead cam V6 power, with turbo if you like.
I want the best.
We've got you covered. Now grab a fistful of 5-speed and feel pure excitement spring to life. The awesome new 300ZX is waiting for you now at your Nissan dealer. Why drive a car when you can pilot a legend?
You can tell by the ride, you can tell by the ride.
The name is Nissan.
The The voters of Austria are making up their minds as presidential runoff balloting tomorrow draws near. The candidacy of former UN Secretary General Kurt Waldheim has sparked enormous international controversy because of his links to the Nazis during World War II. Tom Fenton is in Vienna.
Austria's presidential campaign is officially ended, but both candidates are doing some last-minute electioneering today. Last-minute polls give Waldheim a 6 to 8 point lead over his lackluster socialist rival, Kurt Steirer. Both candidates are of the generation who served in Hitler's armies. Steirer was a simple medic. Waldheim was an intelligence officer on the staff of a notorious Nazi general who was later executed for war crimes. Although Waldheim hid his war record for 40 years and even lied about it on occasions, there's no indication that Austrians draw any moral distinction between the two candidates. Efforts by the World Jewish Congress and others to hold Waldheim accountable for his war record seem to have helped rather than hurt Waldheim's campaign. Many Austrians see him as the victim of a smear campaign and assume the controversy over his past will end once he is elected. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Vienna.
Organizers had hoped it would be one of the largest anti-nuclear protests ever seen in West Germany, but so far the turnout for the rally today, staged in response to the Chernobyl disaster, has been much smaller than expected. Nevertheless, there's been some violence as some of those who did show up clashed with police. Wellington Long has the latest from Bonn.
Both policemen and protesters were seriously injured during initial skirmishes as anti-nuclear demonstrators converged on a nuclear power plant at Brockdorf near Hamburg. Clashes were reported in two nearby towns where protesters swept through the main streets, smashing store windows. Another battle developed between early arrivals at the nuclear plant who tried to force the main gate. They were beaten back by police using water cannon. Organizers of the protest said they hoped that 100,000 demonstrators would turn out, but intermittent rains and low temperatures apparently combined to keep the crowd down. Police estimated that about 40,000 demonstrators were in the area. Wellington Long for CBS News, Bonn.
It's 7 minutes after. A judge in Hawaii has handed Philippines President Corazon Aquino's government a setback in efforts to retrieve the fortune she says Ferdinand Marcos stole from the country when he was president. Details from Courtney Harrington of CBS Radio Honolulu affiliate KGU.
All the possessions taken from former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos and his entourage by the U.S. Customs Service will be returned. A U.S. District Judge in Honolulu has ruled that Customs did not have the authority to seize the goods when the Marcos plane landed in Hawaii. Among the items reportedly seized was jewelry, documents, and millions of dollars in Philippine pesos. Judge Harold Fong said the Aquino government in Manila had made a claim on the property, but there was no agreement or order from President Reagan telling Customs to keep the goods. The judge ordered that once duty is paid on those goods, they be released. An aide for Ferdinand Marcos would only say the former president is very happy with the decision. Courtney Harrington for CBS News, Honolulu.
The Mexican peso is on the skids again. You get more than 700 of them for each U.S. dollar you exchange now. Peter Cattell explores the fiscal crisis from Mexico City.
Mexico's peso is diving in value, losing nearly 200 points against the dollar this week. It's a classic sign of falling confidence, and it's occurring as Mexico hosts a major international event, the World Cup Soccer Games, which were supposed to display a Mexico back on its feet after September's killer earthquakes. They've been another kind of showcase, though, with booing of President Miguel de la Madrid at first game ceremonies, rioting following a Mexican win, and poor attendance at games, partly because foreigners haven't been arriving in expected numbers. That, in turn, bankers and economists are saying, is accelerating Mexico's problems in paying on its $97 billion foreign debt. The World Cup, instead of providing a respite from the debt crisis, is becoming the backdrop for a match between Mexico and its creditors. Mexicans seem to be watching that contest more closely than the soccer game. Peter Cattell for CBS News, Mexico City.
Critical and unstable, an ominous condition report from a Colorado Springs hospital where former astronaut and moonwalker James Irwin is being treated after suffering a heart attack. Irwin, 56, devoted much energy in his post-astronaut days to leading expeditions attempting to find remnants of Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat in Turkey. He was stricken while jogging yesterday. Radio Moscow reports two Soviet merchant ships were badly damaged and a Cuban vessel sunk in a South African raid on an Angolan port this week. South Africa has refused to confirm or deny the attack. It's 10 minutes after 7.